Dathomir.
Half an hour later, Luke had to admit that he was wrong. Most law was technicality. The rest was special cases. And he, apparently, was a special case. He stood on the parking field of the Dathomiri spaceport. Perhaps spaceport was too generous a term. It was a broad, sunny field, grassy in some spots, muddy in others, with thruster scorch marks here and there. Dull gray permacrete domes, most of them clearly prefabricated, dotted the field. The largest was some sort of administrative building. The smaller ones, hangars for vehicles no larger than shuttles and starfighters. A tall mesh durasteel fence surrounded the complex, elevated watchtowers dotting its length, and Luke could see the wiring leading to one of the permacrete domes that marked it as electrified. The spaceport facilities offered little shade, so the Skywalkers stood in the darkness cast by the jade shadow. But even without the heat of direct sunlight, the moist, windless air was still as oppressive as a blanket. Luke poured thoughts of helpfulness and reasonability into the Force, but it was no use. The man before him, nearly 2 skinny meters of red-headed obstructiveness, would not yield a centimeter. The man, who had given his name as Tarth Vames, again waved his datapad beneath Luke's nose.
"It's simple. That vehicle..."
His wave indicated Jade Shadow.
"Neither it nor anything with an enclosed or enclosable interior can be inland under your control or your kids."
He turned his attention to Ben, who stood, arms folded across his chest beside his father. Ben glared, but did not reply. Luke sighed.
"Is any other visitor to Dathomir operating under that restriction?" "Don't think so, no."
"Then why us?" Vames thumbed the datapad keyboard so that the message scrolled downward several screens.
"Here, right here. An enclosed vehicle, according to these precedents, there's about 8 screens of legal precedents, can be interpreted as a mobile school, especially if you're in it. Especially if its presence constitutes a continuation of a school that's been here in the past."
"This is harassment."
Ben's words were quiet, but loud enough for Vames to hear. The tall man glowered at Ben.
"Of course it's not harassment. The order came specifically from Chief of State Dalla's office. Public officials at that level don't harass."
Ben rolled his eyes.
"Whatever."
"Ben," Luke added a chiding tone to his voice. "No point in arguing. Vames, are you also prohibited from answering a few questions?"
"Always happy to help, so long as it's within latitudes permitted by the regulations."
"Within the last couple of days, have you seen any sign of a dilapidated yacht called She's a Chancer?" Luke knew the yacht had to be here. He had run his blood trail to ground on Dathomir, and the girl had not departed this world. But anything this man could add to his meager store of knowledge might help. Vames entered the ship name into his datapad, then shook his head.
"No vehicle under that name made legal planetfall."
"Ah.
Dilapidated, you say? A yacht?"
"That's right." Vames keyed in some more information.
"Last night, shortly after dusk, local time, a vehicle with the operational characteristics of a Soros sub-yacht made a sudden descent from orbit, overflew the spaceport here, and headed north. There was some comm chatter from the pilot about engines on runaway, that she couldn't cut them or bring her repulsors online for landing."
Ben frowned at that.
"Last night? And you didn't send out a rescue party?"
"Of course we did, as per regulations. Couldn't find the crash site. No further communication from the vehicle. We still have searchers up there, but no luck."
"Actually, that is helpful." Luke turned to his son.
"Ben, no enclosed vehicles?"
"Yeah."
"Get us a couple of speeder bikes, would you? Beg, borrow..."
Luke glanced at the spaceport official and decided that the man wouldn't grasp that steal would have been a joke.
"Or rent them."
Ben grinned.
"Yes, sir."
15 minutes later, they were on their way, equipped with 2 rented speeder bikes and 1 piece of useful information that they had not possessed before, courtesy of questions asked and cred coins dropped by Luke. The model of Soro's sub-yacht the Sith Girl had taken from Sinkhole Station was not one that normally came equipped with a hypercom system. From the time it had left the Maw Cluster to its arrival on Dathomir, it had not lingered at any star system long enough for its pilot to make any substantial contact with locals. And in the time since its arrival on Dathomir, the planet's sole hypercom system, based out of this spaceport, had not been utilized to send any message packet large enough to include the complex navigational data required to instruct someone how to enter the Maw and find Sinkhole Station. What that meant, ultimately, was that the Sith Girl had likely not been able to communicate instructions to her Sith masters on how to reach the station or the powerful dark side force mystery it held. Luke probably did not have to fear that the Sith would find that power until and unless they retrieved the Sith Girl. For once, if only temporarily, time was on Luke's side.